over 2,000 years ago, were prophesied about and considered by God from the beginning. And if we have a look at, for a passage, for example, Matthew chapter 16, these are the things that Jesus said during his earthly ministry. Matthew 16, verses 21 to 25. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." And we can see in this passage that even the Apostle Peter, who walked with Jesus, struggled to understand where death fitted into God's plan. Can I suggest four thoughts that may help us give a bit of perspective to today? And the first thought I have is this: Friday is the road to Sunday. Good Friday is the day we remember the crucifixion of Jesus, but even more than just remembering, it's an opportunity for us to remember that Jesus calls us as well to the cross. He calls us to die to ourselves. He calls us to submit. He calls us to surrender. There's no Easter Sunday. There's no resurrection without a Friday. Just as there's no birth without labour pains, we need a Friday. Do you want a new life? If you want a new life, first you're called to die to the old life. Friday without a Sunday is complete hopelessness. And yet we need to embrace Friday before we can truly celebrate Sunday. The second point I'd like to make is that everyone has a problem with the cross. On the surface, Friday doesn't make sense. The power and the wisdom of Christ led him to the cross. There were those who saw the power of Christ, wondered why at this moment he seemed powerless. And there were those who saw the wisdom of Christ who wondered at his decision at that moment. Both his followers and his enemies missed what he was saying. And we see this in John chapter 12, verses 23 and 24. We read this: Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Death was required in order for life to be achieved. And in many respects, what Jesus is saying here, equating it to a seed needs to be sacrificed to itself in order to produce a fruitful tree. I became aware during the week of an organisation called the Atheist Alliance. And amongst other things, its main purpose is basically to discredit Christianity. And on their website, they have, as the Atheist Alliance website, they have 8 reasons why Christianity doesn't make sense. Some of those reasons are quite laughable. But number 4 as their reason as to why Christianity doesn't make sense is they basically state, what loving God would sacrifice his son? What loving God would sacrifice his, his own son, and so therefore that is one of the reasons why Christianity just doesn't make sense. Obviously, a perfect, loving, and powerful God would find another way. And in many respects, that's part of the problem of the cross. That we approach the problem of the cross through an earthly wisdom or an earthly intelligence. And yet, heavenly wisdom makes this look foolishness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, said this. He said, "Jews demanded signs and Greeks looked for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles." On the surface, the cross looks like foolishness. In order to achieve power, in order to achieve new life, death was required. God's wisdom is different to earthly wisdom. In other words, by embracing the cross, we become foolish in order to become wise. Most people just don't fathom that. In other words, we become powerless in order to become powerful, in the same way as Christ. The third reflection I'd like to bring is that Friday means the beginning of change. By embracing Good Friday, it provides an opportunity to proclaim that once you've been to the cross, everything changes. The next verse in 1 Corinthians 1 that Paul writes is this. He said, "But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength." When we embrace the cross, stumbling blocks and foolishness become power and wisdom. If nothing has changed in your life, then maybe you haven't been to the cross. The cross was the road marked out for Jesus. And we read that the cross is also the road for us. Not necessarily physically, but we come to die to ourselves, die to our old life, in order that we may receive a new life. And the last point that I'd like to bring is that Jesus demonstrated faith over circumstances. Now, if I was to survey all of you individually, and I asked you, do you believe that God is with you? I'm sure that most, if not all of you, would agree that yes, God is with us all the time. But if I was asked the question, do you feel at times that God is not with you? If you were honest, you would probably say, yes, there's been many times I have trouble believing God is always with me. Jesus predicted his death and resurrection a number of times. Yet it's one thing to predict the future. It's another thing to go to the cross willingly. And this is exactly what Jesus did. And as he hung there on the cross, Jesus uttered two phrases amongst others. And these two phrases, "Why have you forsaken me?" Yet he also said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Look at those statements. How can they go together? "Why have you forsaken me? And yet, into your hands I commend my spirit." The circumstances were that God did turn away from Christ at that moment on the cross as Jesus bore all of our sin. And yet, though he was forsaken, Jesus showed us how to trust in spite of those circumstances. Jesus knew the promise of the resurrection, and yet death still lay ahead of him. Death was still death for Jesus. And yet his trust caused him to wager his very life. Jesus perfectly modeled at his most vulnerable moment how to trust the Father. So I leave you with a question. Have you been to the cross? Have you embraced the foolishness of the cross? Do you still trust in spite of whatever circumstances you may be going through? And so today I'm going to invite a response today. As we come together and we will remember what Christ has done by eating and drinking together, as Jesus did with his disciples before he went to the cross. But in a symbolic way, I'm going to encourage us all to go to the cross. So what I'm going to ask very soon is for anybody here, if you're visiting with us, we invite you to come and share with us in communion. It's open to everybody. Children, if parents would like to explain to their children the meaning of this, if you're visiting with us, you're all welcome if you love the Lord Jesus Christ. But before we do that, I'm going to invite you. Down the back, we have a table with some pieces of paper. And the invitation is there for you before we partake in communion together to consider writing a prayer, consider writing a reflection or a response to what Christ has done for us. And then I invite you to place or stick that on the cross there as we symbolically go to the cross. We go to the cross to identify with what Christ has done for us. I invite you to do that. Then once you've done that, make your way down to the front here. Take a piece of bread. Take a cup. Make your way back to your seat. And let's just, in a moment of reflection and meditation, consider what Christ has done, what our response is to what he has done. In remembrance, in thankfulness, we will eat and drink together. We will write out a prayer. We'll place it on the cross. We will remember, reflect together. Your prayer might be a prayer of thankfulness. It might be a prayer of lament. It might be just a reflection. It might even just be a drawing or a picture or a poem. That's between you and God. I invite you to participate in that process. Don't feel under any obligation. If you just like to stay in your seat, if you just like to come out and partake, that's fine. There's no obligation in any way. But I invite you to come and go through this journey as we go to the cross and respond to what Christ has done for us. Will you join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, who so willingly went to the cross for us out of a perfect and amazing love. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that we also will go to the cross. We will also die to ourselves. We will surrender to you. And we are thankful, Heavenly Father, for the promise of new life for those who have come to the cross to die for themselves. Speak to us. Guide us. Refresh us as we participate together. in this moment of remembrance. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Whenever you feel ready, make your way down the back. There's pens, paper, write out a prayer. There's some tape there where you can just stick that to the cross, and then let's participate in communion together. Lord Jesus, that you would be willing to go to the cross and that your body would be broken for us out of your perfect love. And Lord Jesus Christ, for the shedding of your blood, for the remission of sin, that we may have a way to be perfectly united with you. Thank you for making that way. And we drink together in remembrance. And Heavenly Father, as we've symbolically come to the cross today, may that be more than just a symbol as we die to ourselves. As we identify with your death, we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would see those prayers that we have written, that you would see our response, and that you would enable us, as we identify with your death, that we be in union with you as we eat and as we drink together, identifying with your death. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you would be willing to be forsaken. And we thank you for your perfect trust in going to the cross for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite the worship team to come and